Good morning, and welcome to the launch of UniMelb Obesity Consortium. My name's Susan Elliott. I'm Pro Vice Chancellor, Teaching, Learning and Equity, and I'm here on behalf of the Vice Chancellor, who's currently in Hong Kong and sends his apologies. Being involved in the launch of this consortium takes me back to my time as a gastroenterology registrar when we went through a phase of putting large balloons into people with morbid obesity stomach, and to give them a sense of satiety or at least reduce their gastric capacity. Taking out those balloons was something we did just as commonly, and in fact probably more at much greater speed than was expected, and the mess they used to make of people's stomachs isn't something I like to remember. It is wonderful to see that the science and the policy involved with obesity's prevention and management has advanced a long way. I think back to those Austin days also, because Minister Moran, who I'd like to welcome here today, worked when I was working in the liver transplant unit, was then Victoria's transplant coordinator. So her life has certainly taken a turn from there, but she's moved into the very important portfolio of children and early childhood development, which of course is highly relevant to the activities of this group today. I'd also like to welcome Professor Ian Catterson from the Director of the Institute of Obesity, Nutrition and Exercise at the University of Sydney, and other members of the board of the consortium. It's well known to you all that Australian health ministers and policymakers are placing an increased emphasis on health promotion and illness prevention as a way of dealing with the enormous demands placed upon the health system and workforce. Tackling obesity is a key issue in the strategy of illness prevention and health promotion, particularly given the association of obesity with chronic illness. And it is wonderful to see that the government has placed it as a national health priority area, putting it right where it should be, at the forefront of our thinking and of our action and of our funding. Education is a critical tool in the fight against obesity. This involves not only the education of the general public, in particular families and young children, but also the education of health professionals, medical health professionals, nurses, and allied health professionals, all of whom are involved in the prevention and treatment of weight problems in patients. I'd like to thank you for inviting me, and I'd like to welcome Professor Joe Proietto to the podium. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sue. Minister Moran, Professor Elliott, Professor Catterson, distinguished members of the advisory board, colleagues, ladies and gentlemen. Today we formally launch the University of Melbourne Obesity Consortium. It's an exciting day because this is a consortium that's been 2 years in the making. We all know that obesity is a modern scourge that leads to a lot of misery and illness, and in fact shows no signs of abating. The fact that it leads to diseases such as type 2 diabetes, obstructive sleep apnea, cancer, polycystic ovarian syndrome, and many more disorders, obesity will place a significant burden on the health system. And there is absolutely no evidence that we are winning the fight against this scourge. Why? Now, on the face of it, it should be a very simple problem to solve. We should just simply educate people on what they should eat and the amount of exercise that they should do. But in fact, there is more to it than meets the eye. There are genes involved. There's evidence that weight is regulated. And furthermore, there is emerging evidence that it's defended. Now, the consortium was formed because we are convinced, absolutely convinced, of two things. The first one is that the solution to this major problem can only come with the application of the scientific method, and hence the role of the university. That's the first thing. The second thing is that given the multifaceted nature of the problem, we will all benefit from exchanging knowledge and ideas across the spectrum. We believe that basic scientists will benefit by talking to clinicians. We believe that public health practitioners must understand the new knowledge that is coming out about the regulation of body weight if they are to know where they should focus their efforts. And we know that clinicians will benefit from talking to clinical researchers. And this consortium is a vehicle through which this collaboration will occur at the University of Melbourne. So who are we? What is the consortium? The consortium is made up of about 40 groups and departments, institutes and hospitals that are in one way or another linked to the University of Melbourne and who are interested in obesity. We have over 80 individual members that are parts of these groups. And we have divided into four divisions: public health and epidemiology, clinical medicine and surgery, clinical research, and basic science. We hope that the consortium will increase research and improve research collaboration throughout these groups. We hope that it will improve clinical care. And because there is a lot of misinformation about obesity, we hope to educate at many different levels, including the general community, students, the medical profession, the health industry, and also those who make decisions for us in government. Now, finally, the establishment of the University of Melbourne Obesity Consortium will allow the university and its related groups to link up as an equal partner with Monash University, Deakin University, Baker IDI, and the Murdoch Institutes to form the Victorian Obesity Consortium, which will be a Victoria-wide consortium that will tackle this problem. And the Victorian Consortium will be launched at BMW Edge on the 3rd and 4th of September this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. It's now my great pleasure to welcome to the podium Minister Maxine Morand, Minister for Children, Early Childhood Development and Women's Affairs. I've mentioned before that Minister Morand brings to her portfolio a deep knowledge of health and disease. She was trained as a renal nurse before becoming the Victorian Transplant Coordinator. She therefore has a great knowledge about what is important in prevention and in the treatment of chronic illness and lack of health. I'd like to welcome Minister Morand. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Welcome, Susan, and good morning, everybody. It is a real pleasure for me to have the opportunity to launch the University of Melbourne Obesity Consortium because, as Joe was outlining, it does bring together so many different researchers from so many different perspectives to tackle this problem. And I do want to congratulate the organisers of this event for bringing together such a diverse range of professionals and experts to discuss this issue. And I guess the range of and the diversity of professionals that you have involved in the consortium does reflect the complexity of this issue. And in one of my other former roles before being elected to Parliament, I was a research scientist at the Centre for Behavioural Research in Cancer. So I also think there's absolutely a compelling need for ongoing research and ongoing research into the evidence on the prevention and the treatment and the management of overweight and obesity. And I guess as Minister for Children and Early Childhood Development, I think a really important focus is obviously on prevention. So by fostering collaboration amongst researchers from such diverse disciplines, the University of Melbourne Obesity Consortium, I do believe, will make a world-class contribution to our knowledge about the causes and consequences of obesity. And we all know, or you all know in this room far better than I, that preventable chronic diseases are on the increase. And as a nation, in Australia, we are living longer. but we're also living differently, and we are leading a more sedentary lifestyle, exercising less and eating more. And as a result, the incidence of preventable chronic disease in Australia is growing at a very alarming rate. And sedentary lifestyles, I mean, I have a very busy job, but it's also a sedentary job, and I think I reflect a lot of the work environment that many of us are working in today. And as you know, the AusDiab 2006 study found that 52% of women and 67% of men are either overweight or obese, and the number of obese children and adolescents has doubled in the last 15 years. And it's estimated that by 2025, around one third of 5 to 19-year-olds in Victoria will be overweight or obese, and as well 83% of Victorian men and 75% of women. So the treatment of chronic diseases such as cancer, diabetes and heart disease, to which overweight and obesity contribute, now consumes about 70% of Australian health expenditure. The impacts of obesity are also far-reaching, and as Joe mentioned, I was surprised, in fact, to learn at a meeting with the Jean Howells Foundation last year that obesity is a major cause of infertility in women, linked to polycystic ovarian syndrome, and I wasn't aware of that. But I think there's no one approach to tackling obesity. A range of approaches are required. And in 2006, the Victorian government released the Victoria's plan to address the growing impact of obesity and type 2 diabetes as part of the Victorian-led National Forum agenda. This plan included a commitment of $110 million over 4 years to combat obesity and type 2 diabetes. And the reform agenda outlined by the Premier in his Next Steps in Australian Health Reform in June of last year also emphasised the need to invest in prevention and keeping people healthy. Some of the Victorian initiatives that are underway are the World Health Initiative, which I'm sure many of you will have read about, the $208 million over 5 years. It is a world first. It's a world first initiative in targeting the connection between chronic disease and workplace injury across the entire workforce. And worker health checks and employer health promotion grants are now being rolled out and are expected to be available statewide by 2010. And I do believe that evaluation will obviously be a very important component of this initiative. Since 2003, we've also invested $150 million in the Go For Your Life campaign, which does promote healthy eating and physical activity through over 40 programs in community settings, in schools and kindergartens and community events. Some of the initiatives are Free Fruit Friday, a ban on confectionery in all government school canteens, which commenced in term one of this year, and many other, a range of different initiatives that we're doing. As Minister for Children and Early Childhood Development, obviously I believe that it's never too early to start on education and good nutrition. And from day one, mothers are provided with information and advice on the nutritional needs of their children and the benefits of healthy eating from their local maternal and child health nurse. We also provide a resource called What's There to Eat? For early childhood service providers about nutrition and how to encourage healthy eating in families. And it's developed and designed specifically for professionals who do work in early childhood services. And as Minister, I do visit a lot of early childhood services, childcare centres and kindergartens, one in Brandon Park. And you do see children opening their lunchboxes at lunchtime, and such an incredible diversity of what you will find in children's lunchboxes. And these are four-year-olds. And some of them have fresh fruit and celery and carrot sticks and multigrain sandwiches filled with goodies. And I've also seen other children open their lunchboxes and take out those little mini packets of chips. So that, and they're four-year-olds, and there's also the issue of and a story that I haven't observed, but was told to me of another child who was on the other side of the room who didn't want to open a lunchbox, and when it was opened, there were mouldy sandwiches in there. So the parenting and parenting skills obviously are really a key to prevention of and a key part of preventing obesity, and this is starting in childcare centres when children are as young as 6 weeks are attending childcare centres and sometimes full time until they start school. So I believe that that's a really important part of tackling obesity. Also, primary school nursing program, the secondary school nursing program, also working with you on tackling obesity. The secondary school nursing program delivers a whole range of health promotion activities in our schools, and they are predominantly located in schools of the greatest disadvantage. Also, as Minister for Women's Affairs, the body image and the portrayal of girls and women in advertising is also obviously a particular interest to me. And young girls are continually exposed to images of what they should look like and what they should be wearing and so forth. And having a 16-year-old daughter myself, I can remember when she was 13 and 14 years old coming to me worried about the fact that she was putting on weight. And to explain to her, you're not putting on weight, you are growing. And it's always a concern as a parent even in your children, it's reflected the concern about putting on weight when she certainly wasn't overweight and she isn't now. She's a very healthy young woman. But that just, I guess, encapsulates the complexity of what you have to face as a consortium in balancing the complexity of tackling obesity from either end of the spectrum. It is complex and it's a challenging task, so I want to finish by again congratulating you on taking on that challenge and obviously looking forward to seeing the results of the collaboration and what a difference it can make for Victorians and Australians. So congratulations and good luck. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. Joe, in his opening introduction, spoke of the collaboration with other Victorian universities in this consortium. I'd like to welcome now evidence that the consortium goes broader to our interstate colleagues. I'd like to introduce Professor Ian Catterson, who's the Bowden Professor of Human Nutrition at the University of Sydney and Director of the Institute of Obesity, Nutrition and Exercise. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Minister Moran, Pro Vice Chancellor, Joe, members of the board and the University of Melbourne Obesity Consortium. Congratulations on your launch, and even more so, congratulations as members of a university of actually getting together and talking and doing something. Thank you for inviting me to be here. I do have some slides because I'm going to show you something that we've done in what we're doing in Sydney. Doesn't mean that it's right, but that I think you are absolutely on the right track. Obesity, we've heard, is a chronic disorder, and the problem is that there are so many issues involved. There's so many professions, individuals, types of disorder that it actually does need collaboration, and we've been living in our own little boxes thinking about it for too long. So we need to collaborate across the spectrum. We often think of health, basic science, translational research, clinical outcomes, public health intervention. But we've also got to think across the ages, from prenatal, through the child, through the adolescent, through the adult to old age. And we've also got to think across disciplines, from basic scientists, through psychologists, through early childhood workers, through paediatricians and clinicians and so on. And it's only by collaborating and thinking outside our own little boxes that I think in this area we'll be able to achieve something. To do it, you need a forum, you need a collaboration, you need research projects, and you need outcomes. But more than that, you do need support from both within this university and without, and it's really good to hear of the Victorian Obesity Collaboration being set up, because I think that's the way to go. We have the Institute of Obesity, Nutrition and Exercise, which is one of the two health initiatives of the University of Sydney. You don't have to read this. This is just our sort of the garbage that comes at the front of how we're going to work and collaborate and solve the world. But it was recognised that as an area of expertise by University Central. Interestingly enough, we've got three faculties and two area health services involved, and a new chair was given, and a building was refurbished for the core group. And our operational framework is much the same as everyone else. We have a board of management. We have an internal consultative group, which is everyone who is interested. We have an external advisory group, which is your board that met this morning. We have a small executive group, and then we have divisions. And having listened to the minister this morning, I'm pleased to announce that the eating and eating disorders section of the centre of the University of Sydney has joined our institute as of this week. Just some pretty pictures to show you that we do actually do some things. We've got a whole range of key personnel, and if you just browse down this, we've got everything from basic scientists through adolescent medicine, through child health, through to public health. And each of these people have a specific role. We have a range of fields of expertise at the moment, and the idea is that as we all co-locate to a building, we'll all become one large centre. The thing that we've found is really interesting is that we've run events for the university or for outside, and they've been remarkably successful. We've run one, and we video conference these across the state. So the economic drivers of diet, nutrition and food composition went to 15 sites across the state. Obesity, the reality check, which Joe kindly came and spoke at, Stuart Truswell, my predecessor, said it was the best thing in the area he'd ever heard in his 50 years of being in the area. We've done some stuff on what dietary protein, and then we got the idea of doing obesity at UCID. We'd been running for a year. We had 50 groups come out of the woodwork to say they wanted to present at obesity at UCID, and at the end of that, another 50 came out and said, goodness, why didn't you let us talk? So we're having obesity at UCID again at the end of this year. And out of that, we have found collaborations have formed. Collaborations between the arts faculty and sort of science. Collaborations between various medical departments and biochemistry. It's really been very useful, and we have another, as you can see, couple planned for this year so far. Some of the things we're actually doing, and we've been going really, we were signed off on July of last year. We run the Sydney Diabetes Prevention Program. We are, for the state government, their Physical Activity, Nutrition and Obesity Research Group. So we provide reports on research programs for the state government. We do evaluation research on all obesity type interventions in New South Wales. We're running some clinical trials. We're managing the development, or we're doing the obesity management plan for New South Wales and managing its implementation. We have a whole range of government contracts to do things, and we're doing some basic research within our immediate group, those people who have moved in, on epigenetics and fat inflammation and obesity, just to name some things. Currently, we report to the Dean of Medicine, so we're totally separate from every other section. We're a separate section. There is cooperation between the multiple groups. As they co-locate, they come under our management. The university has provided some administration to help, but not enough now. We still teach, and we have our advisory board on whom we depend, A, to keep us on track, and B, to keep us in touch with the realities in the outside world. We managed to obtain $95 million from the Commonwealth Government, and the university is giving another $180 million, and we've got another $50 million from donors. So the plan is by 2013 we will have a $360 million building which houses the Centre for Obesity, Diabetes and Cardiovascular Disease. So it'll be us and various other university institutes. And that has gone to the next stage. Suddenly we're here, the obesity collaboration. and all the other major university institutes realise we've all got to collaborate, and so that's how we've managed to get the building. We hope to grow in the meantime, and maybe we can report back to you in 2 years. Look, you've done the right thing. There's a lot of work to be done, and it's easier to be done as a consortium. Congratulations, and thank you very much. I'll put it back to where I'm supposed to be, you see. I'm well trained.
Extremely.
I hoped I was. There we are.
Thank you very much, Professor Caterson. The University of Sydney and the University of Melbourne are characterised by their research intensity, but also by their breadth. We have many disciplines involved in such a broad range of activities that at a university like Melbourne, where we have 7,000 staff, it is very easy not to know what others are doing, even in your area. What this consortium does, as has happened at Sydney, is bringing together pockets of expertise from across a large university so that the outcome is indeed much greater than the sum of its parts. I want to congratulate Professor Proietto, thank the Minister, Professor Caterson once again, and welcome you to morning tea, I believe, to celebrate the launch of this important consortium. Thank you, everyone.